Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome to Burning Hearts, normally with Rachel Herbeck, but today with Pete Burek, filling in for Rachel this week as she is on mission in Rwanda, doing the Lord's work, preaching and teaching and ministering and being inspired herself. I can't wait for all of you to hear some of the amazing things that the Lord has done in and through the Renewal Ministries team that went there. And if you would like to probably get a full report on it, we will have information in our Renewal Ministries newsletter. So if you are not currently receiving the newsletter, you should go to renewalministries.net and sign up for our free newsletter, and you can get all sorts of wonderful updates about the work that we're doing all across the world, including Rachel and others. And this week, I've been filling in for her, and we've been going through some parables. We've already done three parables on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and today, we're going to do kind of a double feature. So, as promised, we're going to call this 5.5 parables over the course of the week, because these next two are kind of combined in a section in Luke chapter 18, and they're both revealing something about prayer and how we are invited to interact with the Lord, with our intentions, with our concerns, with our joys and our sufferings. But Jesus is pulling out two very important lessons, two very important truths about how we should interact with God, how we should communicate with God. So, as in the previous few days, I'm just going to read the two parables, and then we'll get into the lessons from it. So, this is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. And then Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So here's Luke giving us he kind of buries the lead here. He's like, this is what the parable's about, that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, vindicate me against my adversary. So the judge is not a good man. And the woman is coming and asking for vindication against her adversary. For a while he refused. But afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So let's pause there. What is the lesson that Jesus is saying? Obviously, Jesus is not suggesting that God is the unrighteous judge. He's making a distinction. He's making an emphasis. He's saying, if an unrighteous, non-God-fearing judge would listen to the cries of a persistent widow, how much more would a good father listen to the consistent cries of those who are his own, those of his children? And so the lesson in this first parable is a very simple one, but basically it's don't stop praying. Don't stop crying out to God with our intentions. Pray continually. Offer ourselves. Yes, he already knows what we want, but the Lord desires and loves to interact with us around our needs. It's not just a kind of a one-sided dispenser of grace. He wants to have interaction with us. He wants to have intimacy with us because the gift of his love is more important than the action of his, you know, response to our prayer. So like loving him and being intimate with him is always more important than whatever kind of the effect of that intimacy is. Yes, we value the effect of the healing and the transformation and the sanctification. But at the end of the day, the launch point of the fulfillment of all of our prayers, the beginning of the fulfillment of our prayers, and the ultimate kind of fulfillment of our prayers is always found in him, in relationship with him, transformation in him. So all of our desires and all of our prayers need to originate from an intimate relationship with him, continually offering to him and asking for his intercession, for his prayer, for his, not for his prayer, but for his power, for his healing, whatever it is that we're asking for, knowing that the goal of any response to our prayers is always deeper intimacy with him as well. So the first parable is simply to encourage us that, you know, if the widow who annoys the unrighteous judge gets what she wants, how much more can we expect from us who are God's children crying out to him in a consistent way. It should be noted, too, that we never annoy God. Friends, you don't annoy the Father. He's not annoyed by you. He loves you. He likes you. He made you. He desires to walk with you. So your prayers and your petitions don't annoy him, because it's the unrighteous who are annoyed by the genuine heart cries of the people they're called to love and serve. For God, who is perfectly righteous, perfectly good, perfectly just, he is not annoyed by our cries. He is blessed. He's grateful that we acknowledge him, that we turn to him, that we believe in him, and that we would offer ourselves to him and offer our petitions to him. Okay, so that's the first part of the parable. In the second parable, Jesus goes on. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So he's telling this parable to people who think they're righteous but actually despise other people. So again, Luke is throwing a little bit of a interesting shade here at the beginning of this parable. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Again, Jesus, as we've talked about with these parables, he's not making every point. He's making a critical point. And he's often slightly hyperbolic, or, you know, places a heavy emphasis on something to draw out the important truth. And so, you know, the description of the Pharisees who stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you, I am not like other men. And he lists all these other men that he is not like. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. He even looks at the tax collector and is like, I'm glad I'm not like this guy. Incredibly judgmental. Incredibly prideful. And that's the point. Jesus is making the point of this is in the human heart to actually come to God, not like you are God and I am not, but God, I am God and you are God, and let's talk about this. And I'm good because I've done all these good things. And because I've done all these good things, I deserve X, Y, and Z. Or I know, maybe I'm willing to admit that there's some things that I still need to get better at. But goodness, I'm not as corrupt as Bob. Or I'm not, look at Bill over there. He's a wreck. Or that family's got things way worse than me. I do this. I do that. I do this. And there's a way at which that whole mentality is I'm justified and I'm sanctified by my own action, by my own behavior. As long as I check enough of the boxes, then God will owe me something. He will owe me something. Our pastor at Christ the King Parish here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, has a line he likes to say is the worst prayer, the worst prayer you can ever pray is, God, give me what I deserve. Give me what I deserve. And he always chuckles. He's like, do you realize what we deserve outside of his grace? It's not pretty. You don't want to get what you deserve. You want to get what he has won for us. We want to receive what has been merited for us through the cross. We want to participate in the victory and the salvation that Jesus freely offers to us. And so we gratefully and joyfully embrace and sink our teeth into all that the Lord has for us. But we do it from what? From a posture of humility. So what's the lesson of this second parable? To pray humbly. The first one was to pray continually. The second one is to pray humbly. To recognize that he is God and we are not. One of my favorite ways to begin prayer, I learned this from my spiritual director. He said, Pete, when you enter into a time of prayer, simple prayer, say, Lord, let the real me encounter the real you. Let the real me encounter the real you. We don't need to put up any false front for Jesus. We don't need to pretend for Jesus. We don't need to kind of play act for Jesus. We don't need to do kind of what we see on social media where I'm going to present my life in the best possible way. I'm going to take the picture of myself with the best angle, with the best lighting, so that everyone might think I'm one way, even though I'm not, or I'm struggling with something. No, with God, we come to Him continually, every day, every minute of every day. In some ways, we want to be praying constantly, constantly aware of God, but constantly aware of who He is and who we are. Humility is not thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking, you know, about ourselves less. It's actually being aware of the reality of who we are so that we can offer ourselves to the reality of who He is. So we can look at Him and say, Lord, You have the power, You have the freedom, You have the joy that I long for, and I'm not capable of earning it. I can't check enough boxes. I can't fast enough. I can't send enough money to the poor. I can't do enough things to sanctify myself. But what I can do is I can humbly offer myself to You. I can obey You. I can acknowledge You. And I can be persistent in my crying out to You. I can be just doggedly determined not to let go. I'm going to humble myself and say, not my will, but Your will. And I'm going to just keep offering. I'm going to kind of hold intention that reality of constantly asking the Lord to do certain things that I believe would be good, that I want, that I need, that I believe would align with His will. Constantly doing that while also saying, but Lord, You're in charge. A few years ago, I was speaking at a community down in Louisville, and I was talking about helping young people come back to the faith. And I was encouraging each person in there to be very strategic and very intentional, but very persistent in praying in a specific way for the people in their life who had walked away from the faith. And so, you know, I was just encouraging them to really fast and to pray and just not give up, not give up, not give up. Just keep praying, just keep praying, just keep praying for the people in their life. And 2 years later, I came back to that same community and I started to give my talk. And a woman in the back says, excuse me, I'd like to testify to something. She kind of interrupted me, which was a little surprising, which was okay. And if I'm being honest, it was Louisville, so it was a little bit more like, excuse me, I need to testify to something, you know, like really Southern. And I was like, well, I'm in the South, so let's do it. And I said, all right, let us have it. And she said, you know, a few years ago, you were here and you encouraged us to pray very intentionally, very specifically, but kind of without ceasing for the young people in our life. And she said, I just need to testify that I started to do that night. And then she told this beautiful story of how her daughter had come back to the faith, who had went through a tough time, remembered her mother's love for her and her mother's faithfulness, and ultimately is now moved back into the church, has gone to confession, and is kind of restored in right relationship with God. And of course, everyone applauded, and I went and gave her a hug, and it was a nice moment. But the point was, this woman actually believed this parable. She humbled herself, and she came to the Lord with a consistent request. She said, Lord, I want my daughter to know You. And she gave Jesus some very specific things that she was hoping would happen in her daughter's life. And she just kept asking, and she just didn't give up. And she didn't make it about herself. She didn't make it about her pride. She didn't say, like, Lord, this is my will, so You make it done. You make it happen. No, it was, Lord, this is my desire, and I'm offering it to You, and I'm not going to stop because I believe You want to hear the cries of Your people and answer them. So friends, pray continually and pray humbly. Pray continually and pray humbly. This has been Burning Hearts with Rachel Herbeck. I'm Pete Burak, filling in for Rachel. We'll hope to see you tomorrow on Burning Hearts as we continue to move through the parables. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.